How shall they believe him of whom they have not heard? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Children, we have today the feast of Saint Francis Xavier, and he's a saint who preached the gospel in India and in Japan in the 1500s. He joined early to Jesuits, the new order established by Saint Ignatius of Loyola, and when the government of Portugal, which then ruled India, asked Saint Ignatius to send Jesuit missionaries there, Saint Francis Xavier was elected as one. And our saint received this new order with joy, and then he went to ask the blessing of the Pope for his mission journey. The Pope was so greatly touched by Saint Francis's meekness and humility that he gave his blessing and also appointed Saint Francis as a special papal missionary in India. So the saint left Rome with the Portuguese ambassador. The journey to Portugal was performed all the way by traveling by land over the Alps and the Pyrenean Mountains, and took up more than 3 months. And when they arrived to Saint Francis's former hometown, this ambassador asked the saint to go to visit his old home, which was but a little distant from the road, so that he could say goodbyes to his mother and his other friends, whom he would probably never see again. But Saint Francis would not turn out from the road. He said that he would postpone the sight of his family and friends until he would see them in heaven. If he would visit them now, it would result into nothing but tears and sadness. But when they would see each other in heaven, that would be the occasion of everlasting joy. When they arrived after a long voyage by ship to Goa, to India, which the Portuguese ruled, Saint Francis saw how sad the situation was there. Among the Portuguese, who were supposed to be Christians, revenge, ambition, avarice, and immorality seemed to have overcome all the good sentiments of holy Catholic religion. He also saw how the sacraments were neglected, and there were just few preachers in all the Indies, and none outside the city of Goa itself. The bishop of that city, he was a good man, but his exhortations and warnings were despised. And the infidels of India resembled more wild beasts than men, and the very few converts to the faith had relapsed to their old idolatry, since they were not edified of the faith because of the bad example which Christians showed. Nothing really more sensibly affected Saint Francis at his arrival at Goa than this very sad and deplorable behavior of Christians who lived in direct opposition to the gospel which they were supposed to make true by their lives. By their bad manners, they alienated the pagans from the faith. So Saint Francis decided that it would be the best to open the first mission to evangelize the Christians rather than pagans. And that is what he did. He walked through all the streets of Goa with a bell in his hand, summoning all masters for the love of God to send their children and slaves to catechism classes. The little children, they gathered together in crowds around him, and he led them to the church, taught them the creed and Catholic devotions, and impressed on their young minds the very strong sentiments of love towards piety and religion. And eventually, by the devotion of the children, the whole city began to change its face. The most abandoned sinners began to blush for their bad habits. Sinners were struck with the horror of their crimes, and throwing themselves at Saint Francis's feet, they confessed their former bad actions with remorse. Those who had broken against their neighbors, they now made restitution. Those who had held slaves, they set them free. And those who had lived immoral lives were joined into holy Catholic matrimony. Children, all the work which Saint Francis did was truly incredible. With much devotion and labor, he did that. His food was just the same than the poorest people of India, that is, only rice and water. He slept only 3 hours a night at most, and he did that in a simple fisher's cabin on the ground. The governor had sent him a nice mattress, but he sent it away. And he sometimes preached to 5,000 or 6,000 people together in some wide open place. But he was also persecuted by the idolaters. The saint narrowly escaped the dangers which were sometimes laid by the idolaters. Once a band of savages was threatening the people which Saint Francis looked after. But he marched up to the enemy with a crucifix in his hand at the head of a small troop of fervent Christians. And like a general, he commanded the pagans, in the name of the living God, not to pass further, but to return the way they came. And his words cast such a fear into the mind of the leaders who were at the head of the savages, that they stood some time in confusion, immobile, and then they retired in disorder and left the country. Children, Saint Francis was one of those saints who rejoiced in sorrows and sufferings. He said that one who had once experienced the sweetness of suffering for Christ will always find it worse than death if he should ever live without a cross. The way of the cross is the way of life, a true life, everlasting life. And they demonstrate how true love of the cross really is the way of the difficulties. I read you a verse from a nice poem called "The Church Walking with the World." It goes like this. The church and the world walked far apart on the changing shores of time. The world was singing a giddy song and the church a hymn sublime. "Come, give me your hand," said the merry world, "and walk with me this way." But the good church hid her snowy hands and solemnly answered, "Nay, I will not give you my hand at all, and I will not walk with you. Your way is the way that leads to death. Your words are all untrue." Cling to the Holy Cross, children, for your whole life, and you will see the reward of everlasting life. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.